views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. There has been a lot of racial tensions lately, whether you're talking about Charlotte or whether you're talking about Minnesota, Dallas, all sorts of things, whether you're talking about the wall that the presidential campaigns have been discussing lately as well. But the racial tensions are getting to a point where people are dying and people are getting hurt. Well, we've had racial tensions, let's face it, for centuries. But now it's coming to a head. It feels like the 60s to a lot of people. You know, during the Vietnam War, all the civil rights movements that were going on. And we're in that place again. It's being fueled from many different sources, whether it is the mass incarceration rates that are out of control, or whether it's the perceived or real racial bias that is in our justice system. I have Andrew Samuel, the CEO and managing partner of Live ESQ, and they have this application that is going to stream live, kind of like a FaceTime app, that are going to bring attorneys to the site during a traffic stop, and they're going to be counseling the people who are being stopped and making sure the police are following the rules. They've been trying to get body cameras on the police for years now. In the places where they have successfully done a lot of that, the stats are staggering. Up to 80% reduction in complaints against the police, less statistically relevant, less arrests, and just a lot of goodwill between the community and the police. The police are safer and the drivers are safer. So it's an interesting area. I like this because it's a free market, community-driven kind of deal. So we're going to bring on Andrew Samuel to discuss that. But before we get into that, we are going to be talking about the amazing drug addiction that's going on in this country. There's millions, upwards of 100 million drug addicts in this country, and the majority of it is due to just simply addiction to prescription pain medications. I'm going to bring on a pharmacist who owns Shalom Pharmacy, and they have an amazing, innovative approach to not only taking care of customers on a one-on-one basis by doing customized drugs that pharmacies no longer do, but they also work one-on-one with doctors to create a treatment plan that's targeted to pain areas that will minimize the drug effects, the addictive effects, so people do not get addicted to drug medications. It's an amazing, innovative approach that they're using to combat a very awful problem. And it's a very welcoming sign to see a pharmacy doing that when a lot of pharmacies are dropping their services because insurance does not cover these types of services anymore, and they've figured out a way to keep this affordable for the public. So we are going to get into that now, and let's welcome Shalom, the owner of Shalom Pharmacy, now. Hi, Shalom. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks. Nice to be with you.
You are doing something different with your pharmacy, and people were doing it more before, but
people have stopped doing it. Pharmacies have stopped doing this, but you're still doing it and making it affordable. You're doing something called compounded medications, and it really helps people. What are compounded medications?
Basically, compounding medications is custom-made drugs. Sometimes drugs go off market, and we source the ingredients. It's basically the most classic practice of any pharmacy. That was our before manufacturing became available. Every pharmacy used to compound medications, concoctions, but now everything is ready-made. So certain dosage forms for patients, lollipops or drinks or suppositories, we continue to make that.
Why do people need this for their health? Because they stopped doing it because of it gets down to my whole McDonald's drive-thru on everything. I think that we're just trying to cram people into the same process and all these people fall out. This is an example of where we have this manufacturing process go on and all these people are falling out of that process and we need people to still do these things. Why do people need this for their health?
Well, it's personalized medications. It's not one size fits all like the manufacturers have us, and it's more targeted therapy. What we focus on is more of a topical preparations. We don't do sterile compounding. You need special equipment for that. What we do is like pain creams. A lot of the time, because people are addicted to pain medications, and when they take medications by mouth, there's a lot of side effects that can happen, but this avoids it. So if you have lower back pain, you're applying the cream directly to your back. It doesn't have to go through your entire system. So you're getting a targeted therapy that's customizable for your condition, and you're avoiding side effects because you're applying directly where the pain is, let's say. That makes sense?
So every cell in your body isn't getting it that doesn't need it. You're just doing it directly. And so your body it's a targeted area in your body, so your body's not being overdosed in a way. It's not overdose. That's probably the wrong word. But other areas of your body that doesn't need it won't get it.
Exactly.
It's healthier.
It's much healthier. We actually have excellent results because if people call themselves for refills and they want more, I'm assuming that it's working well and they need more relief.
So why are pharmacies around the country no longer offering these services? Because it seems like it would be so beneficial.
Many pharmacies are reducing, if completely going out of compounding niche because of reimbursement cuts and the insurances really control of what we can do and what we can't. So many insurances stop paying for it altogether. But we continue to try to innovate every time and reinvent ourselves by providing different types of compounding that are affordable. And we could still stay in business and still provide that good personalized service to the patient. It's one patient at a time. It's specific to that patient.
So you've devised a plan to keep it affordable so that people can actually do this, where a lot of pharmacies are just unable to do that. Or these mass pharmacies, they just can't. They're not equipped to do these things. But how does this affect patients and doctors? I would assume doctors that know about you and what you're doing would love this. So how does it affect the patients and doctors who are trying to care for them who cannot get this anymore?
Well, that's why we get a lot of referral sources, because we're not expensive. We are affordable, and when the patient's getting the relief, the doctor looks happy, and he's happy, and the patient's happy, and we're happy that we're actually getting something right to the patient that's beneficial to their health. Because the most important thing is patient-centered approach and the whole triad relationship, like a triangle. Everybody's happy in that relationship.
Well, is the word getting around to doctors that, hey, this is great, and this is a service that people need? And I mean, there's other things that people, I know you were telling me about people who can't swallow pills. You do different things there as well. Like, what other things can you do that really helps people that other pharmacies just can't, because you're able to do, you're not using these big manufacturing processes when it doesn't work for you.
Right. So we're small, so we have a lot of less overhead. And a lot of doctors recommend us to their friends and other doctors because they're seeing that we're on time, we do the deliveries on time, the patient's getting their drugs.
But what other problems are there? I know you were talking about being able to swallow, and people are being forced to have these medications even though they can't swallow. I don't know what they're going to do in those cases. And you're talking about applying pain medication. Now, if you're doing pain medication just to your back, does that help in, like you're saying, side effects? So many people are addicted to pain medications. Would that keep the addiction effect minimized?
The theory behind it that we put in practice that we see as the results is when a patient is using our creams, they're lessening their pill burden. So if they're taking a lot of tablets per day for pain relief, now they're taking much less because they don't need it as much as they're getting that relief. And slowly we see that they're weaning off their pain medications. And those that cannot swallow, let's say we can make it into a drink. I've made troches, which is like candies, so people can suck on and get the drug absorbed through their cheeks. I mean, we've done suppositories for people who cannot, who vomit all the time. They cannot hold medications down, so we made suppositories for certain conditions. So it's really personalized. You know, we will get a request, and we try to tailor-make it to that patient, to that problem.
Well, how do you still offer these services? I know that you try to keep these profitable or try to keep these affordable, but how do you offer these services when a lot of other pharmacies are not able to? And I know there's the mass, big, huge ones. They just probably don't want to bother with it, which is probably the big issue. But how are you doing it?
We are able to source the raw ingredients at a much cheaper rate because of our volume. And we have a good relationship with our wholesalers, and we're part of different organizations. So that gives us a better buying power. And that way we could, forward the savings to the patient.
Well, I love what you're doing. I think there's there'd be a lot of people in that industry that would be very passionate about this need, that people need this. I know I did a show on addiction to pain medication and how severe that problem is across our country. It's a really bad issue that's going on right now. And I think this could be an excellent solution to a major problem that we have. How can people reach you?
They could call us at the pharmacy. They could fax. I mean, email. I mean, we try to be very available. We're on Facebook. You need our phone number?
Yeah, give me your phone number, and I'll also put it on the radio page, because this is excellent. If you're addicted to pain medications, now tell me, if you're addicted to a pain medication, do you work with the patient to slowly get them on not addicted by switching to a cream with their doctor? You work with their doctor and the medications to get them off this addiction.
Right. It's a triad relationship. So we're constantly in contact with their doctors and try to figure out a way how, they could use our therapy and complement to their ongoing therapy. We're seeing results. It's a very slow process. Pain addiction is a very big problem in the city right now. A lot of kids are addicted to heroin because it's cheaper than any other drugs. So it's a very challenging problem. And it's really close relationship with doctors what really differentiates. A lot of doctors call me on my cell phone and ask me questions. What can I do for this patient? What can I do for that patient? And it's just our willingness to really work with the patient and the doctor. I think that sets us apart.
Well, and I think getting on this whole McDonald's drive-through thing and realize that we need to do what's right for patients and start off, and we know how to do this, start offering these kind of services to people. And you're such a model of what you can do. Give me your phone number. We'll get that out to the world. And then I will have your information on the radio page so that people can contact you. Now, you can only sell in New York, right?
At the moment, we're licensed in New York State. But if we have a lot of requests that's out of state, we will get the appropriate licenses for that. And our phone number is 718-253-4900. And our fax number is 718-253-4905.
Excellent. Thank you, Shalom. I will get that up on the radio page. And thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I think you're doing a great service for the world. Let's get out of this McDonald's drive-through attitude.
Right. One person at a time. We're very passionate about it, and we're looking for good talent. If people are looking for a job, we want people that want to grow. We're always looking for good talent.
Okay, excellent. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Sarah. It was great. Thank you.
I will have his contact information up on my webpage at sarahwestall.com. And you can also find all sorts of information on the shows that I do and articles. Every single show I do, I have articles that accompany it with details and facts and whatever. I love this show today because it is really showing two different businesses that are using the free market to solve real problems in society. And that's what the free market's about. Whenever things go awry, there's a void out there, and people will start demanding or needing services to fill that void. And so, for example, with this pharmacy solution, that we've turned the drug making into this McDonald's problem, and now we have all these millions of customers that don't have drugs that they need, or there's this huge drug addiction problem, and it's this huge void in the market that needs to be filled. So here comes the free market to solve the problem, and that's Shalom Pharmacy. Or this next interview that I have with Live ESQ CEO Andrew Samuel, and he's going to talk about their traffic stop app, which is solving the problem that we are having now that's creating so much civic unrest, whether it's in Charlotte or Minnesota or Dallas. It's people are dying, and we are having major issues now, dying on both sides. Police are being targeted, and our citizens are dying. And a lot of this is just simply communication problems at the source, at the traffic stop. This is a very innovative approach, and it'll be really fun to see how this plays out because it's highly political, but it's legal, and the free market system coming in and doing something that we need to solve a problem. So we'll see when something is very political but legal and the community is driving it and the free market's driving it, are they going to allow it to flourish? Is the political system going to kill it somehow, even though it's legal? Well, they shouldn't. The free market, the community is driving this. So I'm bringing on Andrew Samuel now to talk about the traffic stop app that they have.
Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Ms. Sarah. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you have this interesting, what is your application called?
It's the Traffic Stop app by Live ESQ.
Yeah, and it's a justice-based system. What does your software application do?
Okay, well, the Traffic Stop app by Live ESQ, it's a mobile application that's going to be available for both iOS and Android devices that immediately, with just a click of a button, connects drivers with attorneys the moment they get pulled over. And the application, the unique feature about it is that you're connected with a local attorney who will actually watch the entire encounter through video using your phone's camera. And throughout the process, will monitor the officer's actions, also assist them throughout the encounter.
And will they assist you as well to make sure that you do what you should be doing? Like when you first get on there, make sure that you get you are very polite, you're respectful, do what they tell you to do.
Absolutely. The premise behind the application is to ensure that if there's any predisposition to bias that the officer may potentially exhibit during the encounter, we believe that would be eliminated as soon as there's a third party who understands the laws in that municipality and obviously in that state, who would be able to ensure or put the officer in a position where he would be forced to follow procedure objectively.
Well, it's easy to use, which you're saying. Is it free for the drivers?
It's 100% free. And, Ms. Sarah, that's a very interesting question. We believe Live ESQ's Traffic Stop app is probably the simplest application on the market to be used because all it takes to initiate it is just one click of a button.
Well, are the lawyers free? How are you getting all these lawyers to do it?
Sure. Well, there's an incentive on the back end for the attorneys. It's an opportunity for attorneys, to meet more people. The attorneys are going to be providing the service for absolutely for free, no cost whatsoever to the driver during the encounter. So, for example, if you get pulled over and, you receive a ticket for speeding, for example, and the attorney's present, what would happen after the call is you have an opportunity to schedule an appointment with that attorney to then be able to assist you in court. But anything prior to him representing you in court after the interaction is completely free.
Excellent. So why did you put this out for the public to use? I think that's the question.
Sure. There are many answers to that question. First of all, as we both know, poverty seems to play a big role in justice in this country. And what we wanted to do was, create something that would be able to be utilized by the majority of people, because the majority of people have smartphones, where they would be able to connect with an attorney anytime they meet an officer. And the reason for that is because we see that it all comes down to how the laws are being applied. And we believe that having a third party there would put the officer in a position where he's forced to be objective. And that would definitely, be a benefit to those who use the application.
Well, do you see a major problem now? Is that what it's kind of spurring this? Is the,
Absolutely.
What's going on?
Absolutely. I mean, we see, you know, 2016 has brought us an abundance of examples. You know, we see many traffic stops, unfortunately, turn into homicide investigations. And the main push behind it is that, you know, there have been communities all throughout this country that have been fighting to have body camera legislation passed that would force the officer to, you know, be equipped with those cameras at all times. So because of the opposition to having such a device carried by all officers, you know, they haven't been able to get it passed. So what we've done is created a system where they can circumvent the government and implement the change that they want for themselves.
Interesting. I'm from Minneapolis, and as you're aware, there was a big incident here that where his girlfriend actually videotaped the person dying in a traffic stop. Do you foresee a lawyer really helping a situation like that? It could have kept the situation from escalating to where it escalated to.
Possibly. Sure. Absolutely. I mean, we feel that it may have had an impact on that situation. And the reason for that is because, first of all, when somebody initiates the application, you know, what that will indicate to the officer is that person most likely doesn't have any malice or malicious intent on their mind, because they've you know, summoned an application that's going to record every action that they take. So it could be a small piece to peace of mind on the officer's part. But also, you know, in that situation specifically, you know, in general, you know, there are certain procedures that people that carry weapons have to take anytime they get pulled over. There's a certain way to present the documents. And perhaps having an attorney present who would have assisted the driver, you know, he may have put the person in a better position to present this issue to the officer rather than the way that it went. You know,
yeah, that could be- I understand that. We just had a conversation about this yesterday, and the driver didn't necessarily present to the officer it correctly, but the officer was the driver was a victim in a couple ways, because the officer just got a call in that there was a shooting in the area with the description of the guy that was actually driving the car very close, right? Yeah. And so when he said he had a gun, it really scared him. And he also, the other thing about the officer is he just got done with this long training where he was going through, from what I understand, he was going through this training where he saw a lot of people of the Somalian, that background committing crimes. So he was in the absolute wrong state to be able to stop him under the wrong circumstances. And this poor driver was a victim of that. And then if he didn't handle everything properly, it turned out to what it turned out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an absolute tragedy. And just like you just mentioned, I mean, there were other variables, you know, in that equation that put, you know, that caused the situation to result in the way that it did. You know, again, it all comes down to compliance. And what we want to, you know, make extremely clear is that our application isn't designed, you know, to get you out of a situation that you know, if you've done wrong, you know, there are consequences for your actions. The point of the application is to make sure that the way that the laws apply to you is objective. And also, in situations like this, the attorney would be able to advise you on how to handle, you know, the presentation of documents. And, you know, as you see, you know, the lady, you know, his girlfriend that was in the vehicle, you know, felt the need to live stream the encounter, you know, and you can see the way the officer was, you know, dealing with her while the camera was on. You know, one thing we can speculate on, but, you know, with pretty good, you know, information on the background, is that, you know, if she did not have the camera on, you know, she may also have had other issues. You know, even with the camera on, they arrested her afterwards. You know, they brought her out of the
court. Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, it was a major issue, you know, and so.
But he was dying there in the front seat, and maybe an attorney would say, okay, well, there might be issues here, but we need to deal with this person that's dying. Let's get him help immediately.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it would have been a third party with a more of a rational ability to, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I really believe, especially in this situation, you know, especially with, you know, all the things you discussed of, you know, how the officer, you know, the officers, you know, last couple of hours prior to the encounter, you know, I believe that, you know, first of all, it takes brand recognition. So they have to understand what live ESQ is. But once they understand what live ESQ is, again, it plays a subconscious role in how the officer views the encounter. Because again, you know, somebody who's going to do something wrong, you know, would not initiate an application that's going to record and stream the recording to a private server, you know, which it's stored forever. You know, so, you know, there it would have played a huge role in how that encounter would have played out. And it's an unfortunate.
What's like going to church? You're just at your best behavior when you're in church, right? Because you feel people are watching you, or you just think it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
And so if you have an attorney present, you're just going to be, you know, dotting your I's and crossing your T's, making sure you don't, you know, blur the line between what's okay and not okay.
We need to take a short break, and we'll be back with Andrew Samuel in a few minutes.
Take us with you on that morning commute. Download your favorite podcast from the Transformation Radio Network. Just visit transformationradio.fm.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Brand consultant and coach Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you are a person with a dream and unsure where to start, or a CEO of a successful company wondering what's next, Jen Morgan and the RAD method empowers you to play to your strengths and focus your competitive edge so you can show up in the world as your most powerful brand. Go to jenmorgan.com or call 206-972-5366.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command, as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, E-L-A-I-N-E.com.
And we are back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. And I want to remind you that you can hear this show every Monday, 3 p.m. on WBLQ AM, one of the only stereo AM channels on the whole East Coast. And it plays in New York, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. And then it also streams live on Transformation Talk Radio at the same time. And many other stations also stream it live digitally. And then you can hear it on podcast on over 90 plus channels, including iTunes and all your favorite podcast channels. And Transformation Talk Radio now plays it 7 days a week. So you are sure to find it at your favorite time slot as well. So let's now get back to our interview with Andrew Samuel.
So are you expecting pushback from communities? I mean, because this could be a, you know, more not the people as much as like the federal, local governments and maybe the police forces. What do you think? I mean, I would assume some would be really, you know, would like this and others wouldn't. So what are you expecting? It'll be interesting.
Sure. There are a couple components to that question. You know, first of all, I'll give you a quick example here, Sarah. You know, it's like if you run a business and you have the same person for many years counting the money at the end of the day, and all of a sudden you come to that person, you say, listen, I'm going to have an auditor, you know, sit there and watch you every single day, you know, count the money. If that person gets nervous or hesitates or opposes, you know, that change, then you know that there's an urgent necessity to get the auditor in there immediately. So the fact that there will be opposition from, you know, perhaps federal and local governments, you know, it's just another indication of the urgency of the application. But on the other hand, you know, we do believe communities will rally behind us. because at the very minimum, you know, it's a tool for them to utilize at any time whenever they feel, you know, they need a third party to assist them.
So basically the communities that give you the most pushback are the ones that you have to be the most worried about?
Exactly. That's absolutely right.
Okay, well, what are you doing that you're worried about this?
Exactly.
You know, that's great. That's a good way to look at it. Well, can this help both parties in the sense, does the attorney automatically represent the driver, or are they a third party? They don't represent anyone.
Sure. Well, the attorney doesn't represent the driver at that time. You know, it's just like a consultation. You know, if you were to get a ticket and then go to an attorney afterwards, the attorney's consulting with you at that time prior to you retaining his services. So what we're doing is we're moving the consultation process back so the attorney can monitor the encounter in real time so that perhaps there are things that you may not have noticed the officer do that may benefit you in some type of defense. Now, from the officer's perspective, it goes back to what we discussed initially. And that's if somebody is recording and having a third party that has no interest in the encounter monitor everything that's being done, it should indicate to the officer on some level that, you know, the encounter is going to go, you know, a lot, you know, it should remove any worries that there's going to be, you know, something wrong during the encounter.
How do you keep the attorneys from doing anything kind of shady? You know, making sure that they are up and up and that they don't set, you know, they're not in cahoots with the officer or they're not in cahoots with the driver. And how do you make sure? I suppose you can't ever monitor everybody, but what are you going to do to make sure that everybody's at their best behavior?
Sure. Well, we rely on the state bar. So what we do is ensure that they're vetted by the state bar. And really, if you look at it from a sales perspective, we don't believe that there will be any issues with them being rude to the driver, because that's a potential client. To the attorney, it all comes down to what it comes down to the attorney's discretion. And we have a system to vet these attorneys, and we have, you know, a lot of confidence that the attorneys that are part of our network, number one, are doing it for, you know, slightly more altruistic reasons.
They tend to be a little bit better people. They're not the slimy. They're not the slimy attorneys that we're all thinking about. They're the people that really want to see change because they've seen too many bad things going on.
Absolutely. I mean, there's over 3.5 million attorneys in this country. So, you know, there's over 80,000 attorneys just in New Jersey. So we're confident that at least 20 to 30% each state, you know, would have a good enough track record where we believe that they're doing this for the right reasons.
You know, we only want people who want it for the right reasons, period. And I suppose because they don't get paid and you have to do enough volunteering that the slimy ones might not get involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, again, my partner, his name is Anthony Drasikas. He's, you know, in my opinion, one of the greatest attorneys in New York and New Jersey. And he's practiced for many years in criminal law in the Essex County area. And, you know, together we've leveraged our contacts and really been able to go after attorneys, you know, through certain processes that we believe, you know, would be able to reflect the image that LiveESQ's traffic stop needs to present. So we're very confident in the attorneys that we have a part of our network.
Well, how many do you have at this point and how many states are you anticipating being in right away because you have the attorney's backing?
Sure. Well, without going into specific numbers, you know, our attorney network is spans from coast to coast. So we have attorneys, you know, throughout New York, New Jersey, Baltimore. We have some attorneys in Mississippi, also in California, and some in Washington State. You know, we're growing our network daily. You know, really the most expensive part of doing something like this is putting together an incentive program where you can attract these attorneys and at the same time hit the ground in each of these states in order to, you know, gain their attention. And that's the part that we're focused on primarily now. And that's continuing to expand our network.
Well, if attorneys are listening to this program, how do they get involved?
Sure. Well, all they have to do is go to our website, which is www.liveesq.com. And just sign up there. There's an area for them to put their phone number and we reach out to them directly. We do a lot of content marketing on, you know, different social media platforms and have been able to secure a lot of, inbound, you know, attorney contacts that way.
So are they stuck doing it? I mean, is it like being an on-call doctor, like from this hour to this hour, you're going to be on call? Or so that they can manage your schedule? Or is it going to be, I mean, I suppose you're still working out those details, right?
Well, look, that entire aspect of the company has been, it's concrete. Okay. All we're doing now is continuing to grow the network. I mean, in order for us to grow the network, these, you know, details that you brought up have to be set. And the way that we have it designed is that it's similar to any FaceTime application. The moment they have availability, and we have certain times scheduled, you know, for certain areas and certain districts in each state, as soon as they have availability, they actually initiate the application themselves, and they would be connected then to somebody close by. So we've set it up in a way where we can ensure that there will be attorneys on during certain periods of the day, also overnight hours, but also have the, you know, give them the ability to, you know, connect whenever they have time. You know, it's a way for them to gain new clients and also assist the people that they're working with.
It's a way for them to do something good potentially.
Absolutely.
And to help, you know, for a lot of these attorneys see the problems in the system. I've done some shows on some of the real big problems, and it comes from all sides, and there isn't anybody that is solely responsible, but there's, you know, you can point to a lot of issues that are responsible. However, anybody who's in the system for any length of time has to see that there's some, we're broken. We're very different from other developed countries, and we need to take a step back and get in line with some of these other developed. I mean, we're so out of step with what's going on elsewhere in the world as far as mass incarceration at astronomical levels. We just aren't treating justice in a fair, responsible way, and how do we pull that back as citizens to take responsibility for that? And I would think the attorneys are on the front line and they're seeing it day to day, and they know that's the case. I would think you'd be able to get a lot of attorneys with that in mind.
Absolutely. You know, that's, you know, like I said, the most expensive part was, you know, creating this platform, this incentives program, and also hitting the ground. But when we reach the attorneys, you know, we see everything that you just reflected. The attorneys are, you know, really, they want to make a difference, and they see the problems of the communities, but they haven't had an opportunity to help somebody before they receive a ticket or before they're charged with a crime. So this is an opportunity for them to see it as it happens and also be able to identify issues or misconduct that occurs during that point. You know, Sarah, when you talk about justice, you know, from LiveVSQ's perspective, you know, really our premise is pretty simple. You know, we believe that the justice system itself is designed the right way, you know, or the justice system relies, you know, mainly on, obviously on the Constitution, you know, but the problem that we see isn't with the Constitution itself or any of the rights that were guaranteed. It's how those laws and those regulations are being applied to citizens. So the point where we believe it falls apart is the actual application. So when the attorney, when the officers go to apply the law, it requires an objective perspective. Otherwise, there is no justice. I mean, if somebody gets a ticket, you know, wrongfully and beats the crime, you know, that's not justice. You know, that's not justice.
I think there's a lot of education of the community as well. There's a lot of mental health issues and a lot of behavioral problems. And, you know, it starts with our youth, and we have a lot of issues all around. I mean, we have a lot of criminals as well, but we're creating them, and it's how we're treating them, and it's not a fair system. And when I say it's not fair, for people who haven't heard some of my shows, when you have a 97% rate of people being convicted on plea deals because they can't afford attorneys,
right,
then you know that there's something. They don't get representation, right? I mean, part of our Constitution is everyone gets representation, and they're not. 97% of people aren't. And so this is a way to educate the community, keep yourself from creating a problem in the first place. And then same with the officers, because the police force, they're made up of people too that are going to do all sorts of stupid things. And I'm sure the captains and the people, supervisors leading these police guys are pulling out their hair with some of the stuff that these guys are doing, right? They don't want them doing all this stupid stuff either. And so they want to help educate them, and let's face it, that these people are facing danger on a regular, like the police officer in Minneapolis, everybody can understand where he was coming from. He was scared out of his mind.
Sure.
And then because he was so scared and he shot this guy five or six times, he wasn't being able to be objective because he had so many emotions going through him. He was a human being.
Absolutely.
And yep. So we have to look at that from all sides, but there are some serious issues we got to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, listen, like you said, we're all human beings, and we all, you know, face the same, you know, emotional obstacles. And definitely he was stricken with fear. You know, whether or not that's, you know, justifiable enough to just dismiss the homicide is one point, you know, perhaps a training issue. But
I
agree.
Just like, I agree. You can't just dismiss a homicide.
No.
There's
there has to be serious issues here.
Yes.
Yeah, there has to be some change. You know, you can't. I mean, there has to be some modification to the way these situations are handled, and what the first option of force is. You know, that could be another possibility. But you know, like you said, we believe strongly that there are many truly honorable officers in this country. You know, we do not want that to be lost in this whole situation. You know, something that will provide a benefit to these officers is that it'll give them an opportunity, number one, to present who they really are, you know, whether or not that's initially because they're on camera or not, but it'll give them that opportunity. Number two, it'll give them an opportunity to weed out those who really shouldn't have a badge to begin with.
Exactly. You know, let's get those schmucks out of there, just like we don't want the schmuck lawyers involved.
Exactly.
And we need to educate the community because sometimes they're being schmucks.
That's true also. I mean, you see the sovereign citizen issues and you see things like that. So that's a whole other topic. But yeah, there was another issue, you know, recently in New York, you know, with this lady, you know, who had, you know, she was fighting the officer, she had an unregistered vehicle and she ended up losing her life, you know, because of something, you know, because she got information off YouTube, you know. So an attorney in that situation, you know, would have definitely been able to guide her a little bit more than some of the videos she watched. But, you know, again, it all comes down to how the laws are applied. And, you know, just, you know, it's an all around improvement. You know, we want to, you know, look, there's no reason why if the majority of, you know, a certain community or a certain municipality, you know, want to have their officers wear body cameras, then there should be no opposition. You know, I'll give you an example.
This is a less expensive way for them to get it accomplished.
Absolutely.
And then
IBSQ way. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it costs about $19,000 per 54 officers to get equipped with body cameras. But it's funny because in Ferguson, Missouri, where there was that initial opposition, you know, one of their armored vehicles was $180,000. So it doesn't quite make sense. You know, the armored vehicle is a remedy to some kind of problem where you can have, you know, something to prevent. You know,
I would be nervous too, though, if you're managing a whole group of people. And they're all being monitored. It would make you a little bit nervous because you know that they don't always operate the way that you would want them to. But in some ways, if you're a good manager, you'd be like, okay, I want them watched because then we can clean them up and make sure that they understand how important this is.
Right. I mean, look, they're public servants. And again, you know, the person who should be advocating, you know, body cameras the most is perhaps their chief, because, you know, unless there's something to hide. I mean, it could even, you know, assist them in training, you know, when they see a situation.
It's kind of like they just have to go with it. Just go with it and see how, you know, it's going to make everyone better.
Yes. There's an example of what you just said in Cambridge University. They did something called the Rialto experiment. So in Rialto, what they did was there was 54 officers in that certain precinct. And what they did was they equipped half of them with body cameras. It was studied by Cambridge University, I believe, in 2011. And what the results showed after just 12 months is that there was an 88% reduction in the complaints of excessive force or misconduct by the officer.
Oh, now, excellent. That's an excellent result.
That's a microcosm of you know how these things, you know, work. And an 88% reduction is extremely significant. I mean, that cannot be overlooked.
Well, and also I bet you the community has a better outlook on it. They feel better about the officers when there's just that real good, respectful behavior back and forth. And the officers would probably feel better about the community. You know, they might at first be a little bit frustrated, but once they see that the community, you know, the people being stopped are being told to be more respectful, then their view of them maybe would change as well.
Sure. You know, this application can help on many levels. You know, it's a spectrum. You know, in the beginning of the spectrum is just a mere perception of impropriety, you know, towards the person. And on the other end of the spectrum is a tragedy. But one thing that's for sure, just like you have stated, is that communities that have better relations with their officers are more likely to cooperate with them when they have issues. You know, terrorism seems like an abstract subject, you know, during this conversation. But, you know, even if you look at it from just a conceptual point of view, having community closely engaging with officers without any type of fear, you know, with no hesitation, you know, that could also, you know, help prevent, you know, other activities in the community that may seem that have
builds trust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
you're
that's
building
needed.
Trust.
That's
so
needed.
If you had your ultimate wish, how do you see this changing justice in this country?
Absolutely. So, you know, what we want to accomplish, first of all, we want to make sure that every single person in this country is treated equally. You know, we want to make sure that everything that they encounter is based on an objective scale. You know, we want to, you know, we believe that our application will actually change the officer's procedures. It'll force them to understand how to interact with such an application. And we want to reduce, you know, we have a, you know, we have a plan for a study, which we're going to analyze prior to Live ESQ and after Live ESQ. And we want to analyze the changes and how certain people engage with officers, number one, and how, and just the statistics on how many people are incarcerated for certain types of activities. So we believe that it will change the way that, you know, you and I, you know, get treated, you know, during any encounter with an officer, you know, whether we're in, you know, Ferguson, Missouri, or we're in the Hamptons, you know, we should all be treated equally, you know, because we all follow, we all live under the same law.
I tend to be on the better end of the spectrum. I tend to get this, sure, I'm the sure. stereotype that kind of gets,
sure.
I like my stereotype. I like, don't want to throw that one away. It's probably one of the few areas where I really like it.
Sure. You know, Sarah, look, let me give you this other example. This is also a catalyst to getting us going. You know, about 2 years ago, I was pulled over, okay, for a traffic stop, and I had a camera rolling in my car, and the encounter was that I didn't stop long enough at the stop sign. So long story short, I went to court to fight. I went to submit the video. I couldn't get it it wasn't admissible for whatever reason, and I ended up getting the ticket. So I thought back, you know, because it wasn't true, you know, I didn't run a stop sign, but I thought back and I said, what if I was at home? What if I was at home and this guy wrote me a ticket and I went to court and I said I didn't do it? How could I defend myself? Because what, you know, how, you know, what's the difference in this situation? You know, if I was, you know, if my vehicle was in my driveway and he wrote the ticket, you know, what evidence do I have to prove that it didn't happen? So, you know, the traffic stop app will document every moment of the encounter, you know, and it'll ensure again that everything the officer does is compliant because he knows that he's being assessed and procedure has to be followed. So it's an all-around solution for all types of problems when it comes to driving or even any encounter with an officer.
It's just creating an equal playing field.
Absolutely.
Right? It's just getting Absolutely. Rid of that. So what is your background and who is funding this? I mean, I'm really curious as how you're getting this funding and how this is going.
Sure. Okay. So first of all, you know, I started my professional career at a very young age. You know, I started at 16 years old. I got recruited by an attorney on a train, actually.
Wow.
And, you know, I started working in securitization. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of securitization of mortgages. We were doing
yes.
audits. And, you know, became an auditor doing these securitization audits on mortgages and then just developed into short sales, you know, through the same attorney. You know, I opened a satellite office and I started processing his short sales. And it took off from there. So I've been doing short sales, you know, for the past 6 years and also in the finance industry working with financial planning, you know, for the last 3.5 years.
So who's funding this? Are you self-funding this?
Sure. Well, my partner and I, Anthony Dersikas, are funding the application out of pocket. Now, we've been working on this now for the past 7 months. And we have, you know, we like I said, we've done the most expensive part of the application, which is getting the human capital lined up and ready to go, which are the attorneys. We've also developed and completed a patent-pending network structure that allows us to work unilaterally throughout the entire country, you know, without having to navigate municipal, you know, codes and state law so that we can launch nationwide. Now, for the last portion of the application, we have engineers that are working on its final development. Now, we ran into a $60,000 stumble at the end. So what we're doing now, because we want to keep it free, you know, we have access to private funding and we're ready to go to get it done. But in order to keep it free, you know, we need society. We need the people that will directly be impacted by our application to assist us in getting this last portion funded. So we're launching now a Kickstarter page, which will be out on Tuesday or tomorrow, that will be able to, you know, give you an opportunity to see exactly what we're doing. Take a look at a couple of videos, take a look at details on the interface and how it works, and help support the cause and get it out immediately, because we know that time is of the essence. And we know that our services can prevent the next case of police criminal misconduct from occurring. So we're asking society to help us assist society.
So are you, and I think you can, I think you'll be able to get that, but how are you going to make money on this? Is there going to be advertising or how are you, because there's going to be maintenance costs going forward, right? Are
sure.
you going to, is there going to be a little advertising component or something?
Sure. Well, there'll be a small advertising component.
And I think that's fair in exchange for getting something free.
Absolutely.
Watch this commercial. Come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the application will be 100% free. You know, that's our primary goal. The network structure that we created allows it to be free. Now, there are certain details on the back end that allow us to monetize it, but monetize it to the point where we can continue to fund the application. You know, we're doing this as a social service, you know, for society.
Absolutely. I think that's, but you have to make money enough to keep it going. It's going to be a cost structure. People need to realize that.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Allow the advertising, you know, allow some of that. But I like the idea that this is a means for society and not just to make a buck.
Absolutely. I mean,
because it's an important issue.
Yeah. I mean, there are many other companies that potentially have the capability to do something similar. But obviously, you know, the profit margins perhaps, you know, in their minds is not high enough. So, you know, we saw this as an opportunity, not for us. It's an opportunity, you know, for society to get what they need. You know, we want to enforce the change that we've been fighting for. And, you know, it's no longer in the government's hands, or no longer needs to be. You know, the power belongs to the people. You know, it's a democracy. The power
exactly. belongs to the Social entrepreneurship. I love this. So how can people learn more about this, get involved? Do you have the Kickstarter information on your website as well?
Yes. All they have to do is go to www.trafficstopapp.com. Take a look at our page. There's an area for you to put your phone number in. Once you put your phone number in, you have reserved the app. So as soon as it's available, you'll get a direct text message with the download link for you to be able to get the application immediately.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I'm going to have this information up on the radio page and people know how to get to it. And thank you so much. This is very interesting.
My pleasure.
And good luck on this.
Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully we speak again.
Yes. Have a great day.
You too, Miss Sarah. Thank you.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's it for our show today. Go to sarahwestall.com and you will find all sorts of information there, stats, charts, all sorts of things that you can find on all these different shows that we are bringing to you. This is going to be a very interesting political season, and this adds more fuel to the fire on what they're going to do with this. Very interesting. I think it can solve lots of problems, but people need to get out of the way and let its magic work. So let's see if they do that. So for now, I hope everybody has a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time. And learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.